May 19th, 2017, and it's been over 2 years since I started Bottle Crow. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease. And this is Bottle Crow, I guess. We're Dota 2 podcasts still.
Yeah. Do you know when the first episode of Bottle Crow was, Nick?
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime.
It was March 28th, 2015.
Yeah, that's 2 years ago now. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is officially...
been doing this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. This is officially episode 50. I think we're up near actually episode 70 if you count all the specials. But, you know, 50 is a number and it means something. And it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
We're going to actually roll right into Lore of the Week to start with because it's a doozy. Because we're going to talk about how we got here. Obviously, how we got here is I just decided to record a podcast with my friend Johnny about Dota because I was new to Dota and I thought Dota was so awesome. And he was an old jaded veteran and he decided to tag along. But how Dota got here is actually a more interesting story than that.
So this is a Lore of the Week for Dota.
Mm-hmm.
Very
yes.
Cool.
And also a little bit before that, actually, because how this all happened starts with Blizzard Entertainment, right?
Yeah. Warcraft 3.
And I would say specifically, I mean, I hate to fall into the auteur theory, right? Like, no one person in any studio is responsible for everything.
Yeah.
But a lot of this comes down to a man named Chris Metzen, who was in charge of, at the time, art and started doing some writing for scripts and stuff, right, for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's responsible for the script of StarCraft. And, he obviously had some help, but he was primarily in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And StarCraft saw a shift in the focus of Blizzard, because until then, Blizzard had been making all sorts of games. They made a fighting game based on the Justice League. They made a game called Blackthorn, where you were like a dude in an alien world with a shotgun. They made some weird stuff, right? Compared to how we know them now.
Yeah.
But with StarCraft, they'd been making some RTSs for a while in the form of Warcraft. They had Warcraft 1 and 2. And obviously, there was an expansion of Warcraft 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
But with StarCraft, they wanted to shift the focus, right? The story was about heroes. Because RTSs have always had heroes, right? You play Age of Empires 2 right now. You boot it up. You can get a Japanese, like gun user whose name is Oda Nobunaga, and he has more HP and does more damage. But he wasn't really what we think of as a hero now.
Like
he was
a
just
special
a slightly
unit.
More... Right, he was a buff unit with a little bit of import because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
And StarCraft did that to a certain extent, but then like they started to mechanically mess with that, where their hero units were, one, the focus of the writing in StarCraft, and they started to give them powers that normal versions of that unit didn't have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this was reflected in the community because their StarCraft 1 was tricky to mod, but there was some people that tried, and one of those mods was made by a guy named Aeon64. He made this mod for StarCraft Brood War, and the mod's name was Aeon of Strife. Aeon of Strife is the first MOBA. It is hard to recognize because its mechanics are so janky. But it is lanes. It is you play as one hero, you farm the lane, you get strong, you end the game. That is Aeon of Strife.
They had creeps back then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I couldn't remember if they were introduced later.
I can't, like, I've watched some gameplay of Aeon of Strife, and it's incomprehensible to me, and I can't tell how much, like, creeps are, to what extent players have influence over creeps.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, but...
Oh, how many years ago must be now? I played StarCraft 2 a decent bit a while ago. I'm complete trash now. I played some version of Aeon of Strife, you know, obviously on StarCraft 2, so it's some sort of recreation, but I think I vaguely understand what it was. Yeah,
bunch of people did takes on this idea, because it was a neat idea. But when Warcraft 3 was being made, Chris Metzen, who as we said, had done the script on StarCraft, was suddenly given the role of creative director. And he said, this is going to be a game about heroes. In story, in mechanics, in everything, we are going to look at heroes and how their personalities and their powers change a battle. And that's how we got started, because then, you know, you had the RPG leveling mechanics, and you had spells, and you had ults. And when the first Aeon of Strife clone was made, called Defense of the Ancients Beta 2, made by a guy named Yule, that idea really took off.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone started making their own clones of it, right? Including Yule, who made a sequel called Thirst for Gamma, which no one gave a shit about.
I remembered. I've looked into it and like, what is this?
Uh-huh. But finally, all these versions of Dota, all these different ideas of what Dota could be, came together in a game called Dota All-Stars. Specifically, Dota All-Stars Beta version 0.95, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is made by Mian and Ragnar. And then development passed to Ginsu. And then it passed to Team Dota All-Stars, which has some names you might not like hearing, like Pendragon.
Ginsu also works for Riot, or worked for Riot.
Yes, but people don't,
later on,
in my experience, don't tend to be as pissy about Ginsu.
For a good reason.
Sure, we don't want to get into it right now.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Ice Frog joined. And then things go well for a while. Ginsu's running it. Ice Frog is helping out, among other people. Finally, Ginsu announces his departure at the beginning of the 6.x series and hands it over to Ice Frog and a guy named Nykus. And then things keep going for a while, and then Nykus taps out, and Ice Frog has run it ever since.
Hmm.
That is the complicated history of our genre that stems from people making RTSs and saying, these are too much about armies and not enough about people.
Yeah. Huh. That does make sense. Because I've played a little bit of RTS. I never played Warcraft 3. One of these days, I'm going to download it, and I'm going to download like a Dota 1 map. But I played Age of Mythology, was like my game. That was my jam back a decade or so ago. And then StarCraft 2, obviously, and a few others. And yeah, those are like modern ones, and they have heroes just built in. I didn't even think of mm-hmm. it, you know. It would make sense to just start from, you know, more basic unit types. Because you have to build in special mechanics and stuff, too. It's harder, yeah. I'm sure.
No, for sure. And it's, yeah, that and if you look at also, I mean, that interest in heroes is what made MOBAs, but it's also what made Modern Blizzard. If you look at all of their stuff,
yeah, you know,
it's all about
Heroes of the Storm?
Yeah. Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, even a Hearthstone. Like,
yeah.
They're all just
StarCraft 2. I mean, they just, like, combine all their IP, basically, around, like, a genre. You know, Hearthstone, the card game, got a shooter, got, you know, MOBA.
Sure. Yeah. But even when they do something new, like Overwatch, it's still about heroes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what most games, I mean, FPS is a huge genre, too, and that's, you know, you don't, like, pull out a bigger sniper rifle when you've charged up your power or something. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's a common theme. People like to see interesting characters.
Yeah. And, you know, wonder if they'll have another such moment where the whole industry kind of spins on an idea, you know? And I'm not giving Blizzard sole responsible, like, sole credit for the idea of, wait, what if heroes? Obviously, it's much bigger than that. But I think in the RTS genre, it almost is that simple.
Makes sense.
But anyway.
And I'm sure that's within there, yeah, lots of legal things.
Oh, yes. Oh,
so
yes.
Thankfully, we still have Ice Frog developing.
Mm-hmm. So what has Ice Frog developed for you lately? What have you been playing, Nick? How have your games been going?
Well, so I've been doing a little bit of solo queue, trying to like calibrate for international ranked, even though I'm like near the calibration limit, so 3.5k or whatever. Just playing around. It's, you know, international ranked is always a little bit different. I don't know. It's hard to compare, but, you know, things are different there. In terms of, you know, us playing together, hopefully I'm not stealing your thunder. Is it fair to say we've had some failures in matchmaking recently?
We've had some strange ones, I think it's fair to say.
Interesting things, yeah. It's just like Kalina and I were, I think we did like three games, and like two out of the three games, it seemed like we were considerably better than our teammates. Not in like, our teammates suck. It's just like they didn't know the game.
Yeah, it was a strange...
And like, I mean, that happens generally, but...
we had a silencer in one game who... He bought the courier and he bought wards, and then he stood by the offlane shrine for
five minutes.
And he wasn't AFK. He was moving around a little bit, but he was just standing there. And then and Nick was playing a solo safe lane anti-mage
against it was a Necro and a Dazzle or something. Yeah,
yeah, it was an aggressive lane. And, like, then he, like, was helping Axe jungle for a long time. And it's, like, it wasn't that he was bad, though he was bad.
We were all bad once.
But it's also just that, like, there was a bizarre lack of understanding of how the game works for how much we've played frankly, our MMRs, even, yeah. You know?
I mean, we're, like, above 2K, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that happens with matchmaking sometimes, but we get the short end of the stick this week.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not too salty.
No, I'm just like, oh, this is unfortunate. These people are clearly have not, I don't know, put in as much time or something.
Yeah, I think the last game you felt it a little more than I did.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some pretty bad itemization by our team, but like that happens. That's just a thing.
Yeah.
People just do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But what? I am not, like... I have to, like, actively think about that stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have played, like, four Windranger games in the last 2 days. And it's just... I'm just happy.
I guess we can announce here. Colin is trying to make a triumphant return to playing mid lane.
I am. It's tough. I fucking... that last game, were you even in that last game? I don't remember. No, you weren't. Yeah. I was playing Windranger mid against a Storm Spirit with Drow Aura. That's the fucking worst.
Yes.
And I still, like, I didn't win the lane, but it was like 60-40. I did okay, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And then it was like, it's 15 minutes, and the safe lane Phantom Lancer on your team has a Diffusal Blade. Ugh. We're fucking done here. Like, we were playing, and, you know, like, my party MMR is still, like, 1,600 because I haven't... My seasonal... I recalibrated seasonal, and it's higher. But, like, that's my party MMR, and on their team, the highest MMR was that Phantom Lancer at a party MMR of 3,500. I don't know how he was in our game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, he just ate the entire team for the rest of the game. I killed him a few times. I killed a few people a few times. But it's just like, our safe lane carry is a guy who random Terrorblade and doesn't know how to play Terrorblade. He farmed great. He fought very badly. He was squaring off against... Storm Spirit. Storm Spirit was standing still, no Lincolns yet. He got it later. And Terrorblade was down to like 300 health. Storm Spirit was basically full health. And he sundered our Witch Doctor. I was like, dude! Okay, well now you're both gonna die.
Yay.
This is unreal.
Yeah.
I do like... God, it feels good to get back on the Shackleshot train. I'll try not to wax, like, just flip out about how great Windranger is for too long. But, like, that fucking Storm, that son of a bitch, he was like, I'm gonna pick up a Lincolns. And I'm like, I'm gonna Shackle Ogre and it's gonna latch to you. Get fucked.
It's like, wait. I've made a mistake. Yeah.
And then I'm gonna get an Orchid, you little dick. You know.
Yeah. But I'm going to try to help. Colin has asked me for some help in coming back to mid, so whatever knowledge I know, we'll see if we can can get him back on the Wind Ranger high MMR train. Mm-hmm. All your Dota buffs will say high skill.
My mid, I've always leaned like trash as a mid. I've always not understood when to spend mana, when to take risks. Like, when it's like, when should I be going for a rune? Do I want the wave close? Should I be trying to deal chip damage? I have no idea.
There's so much going. Yeah, and that's solo only, like, I know enough to, like, know, I guess I'll do this most of the time. And then, I mean, even just, like, you have to memorize, not memorize, but, like, know what to do against every matchup, because all those things will change. It's like, should I spend mana to secure the ranged creep kill? Should I go get this rune, or are they going to try to shove my wave and I'll lose XP? Stuff like that.
At one point, that Drow Aura Storm Spirit got two DDs back-to-back. And it's just like, I have to pop Windrun when he throws a charged projectile at me. I have no fucking choice. And it's just like, oh, this is killing me here.
Yeah. And then sometimes, you know, you'll just lose the lane. And it's like, you have to accept it and then know what to get. You know, like, how greedy can you get? Will you have to stand at your tier two for the rest of the game? Hopefully not. It's like, yeah.
So, on to news.
News. Dota news. So I think we were talking last time, some time ago, we talked about how Wings has become Team Random. And then all of them have, like, according to Jack Chen, KBBQ on Twitter, said, like, that they're all probably retiring. And we're like, oh, that's not great.
Yeah, and I came up with some wild theories.
I mean, I had looked into it before and there was like some rumors about stuff, but I mean, I don't know Chinese, so I can't go read Weibo.com. So like I have to, you know, rely on Reddit basically. So what everybody else probably already knows. There was some talk that it's ACE, this Chinese organization. I don't know if it's, I think it's just an esports generally organization. It's like a syndicate of the major Chinese tournaments, basically. It was like, it's an attempt to glam up the scene, basically, and like get more money into the scene. And what they basically did is, you know, they had players and they said, okay, you're on an ACE team. Like, you're in this syndicate, this, you know, group of organizations decided to come together. And if you're on that organization's team, you can only go to tournaments that are blessed by ACE. And so there was some weirdness that happened with the, you know, Wings and payout. There was talk that, like, hey, they got, you know, they lost 40% of their TI winnings to the Wings organization, maybe. And then there was talk that for 2 to 3 months after the, you know, they spent all that money they got from TI on buying that League of Legends team that turned out to not, you know, it was a bust. And then they didn't pay their salaries for like 2 to 3 months is what I think one of the two of the players have said. And I think Jack Chen has confirmed that. And so they left, obviously, because, like, hey, why are we going to be under your logo if you're not going to pay us? You know, I mean, 2 to 3 months, that's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, like, pay issues before.
Fucking TI winners. Right. You know?
It's like, they're not bad players. You should be, you know, paying them what they're worth. So they left, obviously. Like, that totally makes sense. Who knows? Like, you'd have to read their contracts and, like, they'll go through Chinese court or whatever. I have no idea how this works. But basically, ACE has, like, banned all five of these players. They've blacklisted all of them because of the way they left Wings. Even though it seems like they were, you know, well within their right and they, like, weren't being paid, who knows how that shakes out legally. And it doesn't even have to be legal because ACE is just like some esports syndicate, right?
Right. Like, it doesn't, this isn't like they said, you know,
there's no suit going on currently.
Right. There's no breach of contract or, like, they don't have to have legal grounds. They can just say, no, you can't come to our tournaments. Yeah. They always have that right.
Yep. And then ACE now has like all the major tournaments, which means these TI winners can't like go to big tournaments in China and like make money. So, I mean, they could leave China, right? Like, they could just go somewhere else, but that kind of sucks to have to do. I'm sure they probably don't want to leave, you know, family or whatever, wherever they're living. So, you know, the future is uncertain for Wings. See how bad the TI curse kills them.
It's really screwed up.
Yep.
I guess I do, like, I think when they left wings to form Team Random, I suggested that it was a money thing. And I guess, I mean, that's just, you know, fucking law of averages there. I couldn't have been more wrong about why Team Random fell apart. But like, yeah, I mean, like, this is my first time hearing about this ace organization, and I feel like I need to know more before I'm comfortable rendering very much of a judgment.
Yeah.
Like, the things that are being said, you know, if true, seem really upsetting about like, what that means for the Chinese scene. Yeah. And
I mean, but we've talked about before how, I know I've talked, you know, brought it up. We have, like, no clue what goes on in the Eastern Dota scene. Because, like, yeah. I don't know any Chinese, so, you know, we just have to rely on, like, people translating or, like, posting on Reddit. And there was,
Reddit-like translated comic.
Yeah. And people were saying, like, you know, Ace isn't really great for the scene. It sounds like, you know, they're trying to do what Riot is. And, like, oh, if you're a part of us, can you have, you know, a tournament, you know, because we bought these tournaments with high prize pools, or, like, we run all the high prize pool tournaments. So
sure.
Conform or die. And that's not good for a scene, you know. But Valve isn't really one to do anything. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But it kind of stomps out the... I mean, Wings, they came out of nowhere, right? We, you know, nobody knew him before TI, I guess. Can't remember. But it was around that. And that's not something that happens if you have a syndicate, like... only allowing certain organizations to field players in their tournaments so that they get publicity and they get big. Because otherwise it's like, well, let's go win this $10,000 tournament to pay for rent.
Yeah. So. It's, yeah. I honestly, like, this is one of the few times where I'm going to say, like, organizations like NP and Secret that are player-run teams, I really hope they can reach out to some of these guys, and some of them will probably say no anyway, right? Some of them will say, I'm not fucking moving to Europe for this. Are you high? Like, thank you, I guess, but no. But, like, I hope some of them, like, you heard the stories about like, their boot camps and stuff, right? And their house rules and how intense they were about Dota and how much they let their passion, like, dictate their lives. And it was kind of scary as a person who doesn't do that, but like, it would, I would imagine, I can only imagine that people like that, it would kill them to have it taken away from them for stupid legal bullshit.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's just like an organization trying to screw them over to protect another organization.
So I really hope they can get the opportunity, if they want to take it or not, that's up to them, but I really hope they can get the opportunity to go elsewhere and really,
always good to see good Dota players. Not great to see good Dota players not play Dota because bad reasons.
Yeah.
Yep. Shall we move on to more happy things?
Sure.
Well, boy, do I have a happy thing for you. We finally have the IO Arcana. This confirms IO definitely won the Arcana vote last year. Rigged.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yep.
Totally.
Absolutely. So, Colin, I can tell you really like this Arcana. Go ahead, describe it for us.
So, this Arcana is a really fun tribute to another Valve property that you may have heard of, called Portal.
Oh,
name rung a bell, and I looked it up, and it was this cute little, just this cute little game about like making doors. It's great. It's like science doors to the future.
Science doors to the future.
And apparently, there was this at one point in that story, you put blocks on stuff, right? You know, because video games. But you got a block called the Companion Cube, which was like a fancy block that had hearts on it, and it loved you. And then it died because you threw it in a fire.
Oh.
And now IO is a reimagined version of the cube that loves you.
What a great story. I love the lore behind this Arcana. It looks great. You've got this glowing cube. When he tethers you, there's hearts now. When you're overcharged, it's like red. And when you know, you get the, you know, the updated icon and stuff that you always get for an Arcana, and also relocate now puts portals on the ground, a blue and an
and
orange
makes
portal.
The, and makes the good, the portal, like the putum sound effect. It's really a,
also whenever there's like
do it, obviously,
a kill around you, you play, this was a triumph, you know, that little do 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 do. And then I think there's a few other songs that come up too.
It's a
sometimes
thing.
They'll play like a significant portion of Still Alive.
So if you're a mild lorehead, you'll be like, whoa, 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 what's this? If you're a hardcore lorehead, you know why this works, which is also the same reason it doesn't work.
What? Explain.
The reason it works is that Io is everywhere and everything in every plane of existence. That's his literal lore, is yes. That he's everywhere and everything is Io. I'm Io, you're Io, let's go Io. But that's also why this is fucking... Like, okay, so your Arcana could have been literally anything. How fucking inspired. You could have made it a pile of dog shit, and that would have been canon, because Io is everything.
Colin.
That's... It's not that the Arcana, like, the lore for the Arcana is bad. It's that it made me take another look at Io's lore and go, this is fuck... You guys suck.
He's a big old glowing ball. Well, Colin... You say hardcore, well, you say regular lore heads would, you know, question this. Uh-huh. I think it's a little weird that we have a portal element in the Dota universe.
Yes.
Are you ready for your mind to be blown? So in the notes here...
I mean, honestly, I'm not, but
no?
Go
okay.
ahead.
In the notes here, I have Tinker. Now, uh-huh. I'm not going to read Tinker's lore. It's probably been on a lore of the week. I haven't read it. Uh-huh. His name is Boosh. I know that. However, it has been about 4 years since you've played Half-Life, right? You said something like that? Half-Life 2?
It's been a while.
It's quite been a while. Tinker is Dr. Kleiner from Half-Life.
No, he's not.
Allow me to present a few things, and then I'll let you know when it's over.
I wish this was a Kleiner bottle. I hope someday I'll run into another survivor of the Violet Plateau incident, but it's not looking promising.
Does Violet Plateau sound a little bit like perhaps a black mesa to you? Another geological colored thing?
It's actually, Nick, if Lamar? You knew the lore better...
They're debeaked yes. and completely harmless.
Yes,
I've
he
seen
makes
these
Half-Life
things
references.
Somewhere before. This is starting to remind me of the 7-Minute War. Tinker. Dr. Klinker.
The 7-Minute War is a reference to the 7-Hour War in Half-Life mm-hmm. when the Combine
yes,
like, came through
references.
The portal.
This is Dota. Of course he makes references.
Tinker is a like clone or something of Dr. Kleiner that is somehow in the Dota universe.
I think you
If
could,
we have an
I
element of Half-Life, could... why not an element of Portal?
I think you could fairly argue that Tinker is like a DC-style, like, Earth 102 fucking Dr. Kleiner, right? I think that's fair. If you're wondering, actually, the Violet Plateau is actually the name of the place where the laboratory was. The laboratory itself does not have that same name. It's in his lore. The okay. Violet Plateau is named for its...
It's actually like, in his lore,
toxic
then.
Mists. Yeah, yeah. Violet Plateau is part of his lore. What happened is he and his associates went there to open a portal, and it went bad, and everybody died except him because of his hazard suit, basically. They don't call it a hazard
I
suit.
I really should
why.
Have read his lore before this. I didn't realize how strong of an argument I had.
Oh, no, it's if you want to, yeah, as I say, if you want to argue that he's parallel dimension, like alternate Dr. Kleiner, fucking 100%.
Companion Cube sure. IO is canon. Calling it now. I
of
cannot
it
wait
it's in the
to
game.
See the slacks.
If video. It's in the game, it's canon. That's how this works.
Well, I mean, you also have like the Elder Titan lore. It's like, hey, I made the universe. And then Arc Warden
well,
is
he
set.
Made the specific
third
world.
Ancient.
His race made the universe. He specifically made this
yes.
world.
It's Dota yes. lore. We only ever pretend it makes sense.
Fair enough.
For the sake of entertainment.
So, Nick.
So, Colin.
We've got a beef.
I've got a big old beefsteak. about?
It's with Midas.
Yes. Speaking of recent Dota games.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Midas. Yeah. The past like few months, I've grown to hate Midas. Because in pro matches, whatever, you know, it's fine if like every, you know, five people on a team buy Midas sometimes, and that's like their strat or something, whatever. But what ends up happening is that people in pubs go, hey, that's an item that I see the pros get, and they get money. And hey, I get XP and stuff. You know what I should do? I should buy a naked Midas, no other item besides Midas, or I should just rush a Midas every game, no matter what. And that just makes the game less fun, like directly. Absolutely directly, yes. Makes the game less fun, because you've spent like 8 minutes, whatever, farming, you know, 8 minutes optimistically, you know, 6, 7 at the beginning, maybe. I don't know. Just like buying an item to get you more gold and XP a little bit
and
occasionally.
You know, if you do the math, it takes so long to pay for itself.
Yeah. And like, especially now that it's like, what, it's 1600 risk, so it's like a 2000 gold item. I don't remember. I mean, yeah. I haven't recalculated the GPM since they changed it.
Well, but, and the other thing is that's just like, that is just math, and math can never tell the full story of things like this, right? Like, okay, so that is how long it takes to pay for itself just by farming it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, okay, let's say for instance that you had instead of that a Dragon Lance, right?
Yeah.
How many more kills would you get? What would those kills be worth?
Because Dragon Lance is like cheaper now than Midas, or the same price, but like gives you stats, you can do stuff, it also helps you farm because you're a bigger guy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like so passive. Everybody, like, you know, jungle legion, whatever, gets Midas, off lane Wraith King Midas, mid lane whatever, as long if you're not invoker you shouldn't buy Midas absolutely every game. It takes like 15 minutes or so if you're at max efficiency to pay for a Midas. That's just to break even-ish.
Nick, I have over 1,000 matches in Dota 2.
Yay!
First question.
Yes.
Do you want to guess how many times I've built a Midas?
Well,
I'll let you guess
probably
twice
not many.
And I'll tell you.
5.
You're pretty close. It's 8.
Really? What?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Do you want to know how many times I've won with Midas?
Zero.
Zero?
Wow.
I have never won with a Midas.
Wow.
I have only ever built it on people it makes a lot of sense on, mostly Ancient Apparition.
You don't play much Invoker too, so that makes sense.
No, it's mostly been like Ancient Apparition or Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
But still.
And that was common before like the recent fad, right? Like,
uh-huh.
you would see it on AA a lot. You would definitely see it on Invoker a lot because he's just an XP lover. But then, like, everybody started building it.
And I hear you right there, right? I hear you, listener, who says, Colin, you built it 8 times out of over 1,000 matches. 1, so you don't know how to use it very well.
Yes.
And 2, you're bad at Dota. Like, okay, sure. Fine. Granted.
And you don't play heroes that often get it a lot. But
right. Yeah. No, totally. All of these are super valid points. My point about losing every game is not like, therefore, it's a bad item. But the point is, it is a trap.
Yeah. It's like, listen, I'm like the Animage player who loves to AFK farm for 25 minutes, right? I love to just treads up, blink, camp. And, you know, like, attack, click, and position, right, so that my cleave hits the most creeps and, like, I have to attack the least amount of times. I enjoy AFK farming sometimes, but I recognize that it's a sacrifice that the team has to make. Like,
yeah.
Just like, oh, I'm an offlane, I'm going to go Midas so that I accelerate my farm fast. You're the offlane. Not every game is going to be farming for you. That's why you're not position 1.
And this actually comes back to the thing about Legion jungle and other junglers, is you're not like, people are like, what's the fucking problem? Why does it matter to you? I'm not going to be in your way. It's like, no, you're also not going to be fucking helping me. We're going to be down a hero for 20 minutes.
You're in my video game.
Like, and also actually you often are hurting me because turns out Legion junglers tend to be kind of stupid and take my fucking pull camps.
Yeah. also, like, hey, I'm an animage, like, it's going to be 13 minutes. I'm going to have my great battle fear if I got a good lane because supports were active. That's my jungle. Get the hell out.
It's the way the economy of Dota is one of the hardest things to really wrap your head around. And I don't have it all figured out. I farm like shit. It doesn't matter if I'm playing a core or a support, I am always underfarmed, unless I am just fucking eating their goddamn lunch. Which occasionally happens on Midranger, but basically no one else. But all of that stuff is really, like, it's all hard to do. And I feel like Midas is one of the hardest parts to use well.
Yes.
So don't fuck, like, if you haven't mastered the fucking basics, don't get a Midas.
And it's like, of course, and the reason people keep doing it, because, you know, it's pub Dota. People aren't going to punish you all the time for it. And maybe, like, some of the time it's good because they don't know, like, you know, just like AFK Farman is an animage for a while. They don't know that, oh, they have to stop you. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's no excuse to just make the game 15 minutes longer for no reason.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating to see it over and over and be like, this is so bad. You're, like, so delaying the game. Because then, like, someone has a power spike, but someone bought a Midas. And so when they would normally have had a power spike, instead they're just sitting in the jungle. And it's like, well, there goes that power spike. Glad I picked this hero and decided to play with you.
Yeah.
So just say no to Midas. Tell a friend. Friends don't let friends buy random Midas.
Please don't do Midas.
Maiden. Yep. Take with extreme caution.
So we've also had, speaking of sort of like farming and economy and stuff, XP gain talents have all been removed from the game.
Try again.
XP gain
respawn talents reduction talents have been removed from the game.
Wow, yes. Hi, brain. How you doing?
You know that
high
whole
five.
Experience is basically
I
death.
Was totally merging two topics there.
Yep.
Okay. All the
reboot.
Yes. All the respawn reduction talents are gone. How have you felt, like, it's a pretty small sample size. How have you felt that affecting your games?
So, playing as someone who used to have one, it's better. Like we talked about in the patch special, it's like, it's just more fun, right? Because you're not taking a thing just in case, right? Because respawn reduction does nothing unless you die. And, like, is that a great way to design your game? Not really. Just
kind of
blows.
It's one of those, like, talents where if you take it, you're kind of admitting defeat to a certain extent. And
yeah,
sometimes,
or you're,
like,
hedging your bets. But
right, like, you take it, and I've taken it. You know, I've played supports while I played
good.
An Enchantress.
A lot of the time.
An Enchantress, where it's like, nope, I need this. I'm going to die.
Yep.
But it's kind of like, well, what if instead I took extra strength to try and avoid dying? What if I didn't, like, it feels like it is going to be impossible to measure. But I think you also, there was a little bit of psychological weakness that came in when you took that talent and you accepted, like, nope, I'm going to have a rough game. It's like, no,
it's
don't
basically
accept
taking
that.
A blank talent unless you screw up and, like, yeah. And then hoping that actually does something and not just like, oh, I'm up sooner. But, you know, pub players, we might not actually take advantage of that efficiency if, you know, they're not pushing high. If they're pushing high ground, obviously it's better. If they're not pushing high ground, maybe you could have used that 20 movement speed instead or something and you would have gotten a kill or you would get more farm instead of respawning a few seconds sooner. But, you know, we're not pros. We're not going to have a higher GPM because of that, right? So
yeah.
It's nice. I'm glad to have that kind of thing out of the game.
And now to smoothly transition to the topic I accidentally merged with it.
Oh, what is that, Colin?
So, XP gain talents.
Yes. Do you have thoughts?
I don't know what to feel about them because, again, like, some of them seem pretty good, right?
Like, I mean, what, Tusk has, like, 40% now? Something crazy?
Yeah, and, like, on a lot of supports, it just feels kind of like a no-brainer because it's like, oh, well, there's no way I'm ever going to get level 25 unless this game turns into a real knockdown dragout, right? Yeah. But, like, then there's, well, number one, there's the, like, you know, as we mentioned, like, well, you could also take a talent that gave you stats instead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also sort of the, what? Like,
it's almost like buying a Midas.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you're handicapping your potential.
You have no expenditure, but you're still like, you're trying to accelerate by foregoing a different strength.
Yeah. And I don't love the feeling.
Honestly, they just,
like, every time I take one,
they feel so underwhelming. It's probably just me not noticing, right? Because I don't play enough Dota. I don't just spam Dota. Uh-huh. So I don't have like, hey, I took 40% this game and I took snowball damage or whatever the other game. And I would have to like compare. So maybe it is huge, but they don't feel huge.
Yeah.
They're not just like getting a level every minute.
Well, what would you do, right? Would you do like every time you kill a creep, you see the bar go up and then you see a little bit of extra bar that's like green to indicate like, oh, this is your bonus XP.
I don't have as much problem with them obviously as the respawn talent.
No, sure.
And I don't know, because it does help out supports. It's great for supports.
Mm-hmm. And there was another thing related to talents that occurred to me the other day, which was I was playing a support, and I'd like there was a specific talent that I want, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one that's like, there's a point where it's like, you have a choice of two options, and one of them, like,
is garbage.
Not only is one of them garbage, but the other one is like, yes, I have already built items to capitalize on this, right? Like, yeah. This is the point. This is the thing. And I was leveling up, and I hit control to level up, and then I fat-fingered. And I got the right one, but I didn't mean to level up with, like, my stats with keyboard.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that could have gone real bad. And I was like, well, okay, hang on. Let's say I'm playing, and what's a good, let's say I'm playing Carry Vengeful Spirit.
Oh, my favorite.
And we need a BKB piercing stun. And I buy a Midas, and I buy some tomes, and I rush to 25 to get my BKB piercing magic missile, and then I accidentally take the wrong one. I have no way to fix that.
Yep.
Do I just GG at that point? Like, what do I do? Because, like, if you put a point into your W instead of your E, like, that sucks. But, like, guess what? There's going to be another level, and you'll fix it.
Yeah.
If you fuck up your talents, you just fucked up your talents, and you're fucked.
Yep. I mean, especially when there's, you know, cool, interesting, and strong things in there. It's like, oh, be very careful where you click and what keys you press.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about this a tiny bit. It would be nice if there was like some sort of grace period, right? Like when you buy an item, regardless of the item, you can always disassemble and sell it for like 7-8 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just swap, if you could just swap the talent, that would be good. I don't know how it would apply. You'd have to like only be able to swap once, probably.
Well, I mean, you could also just be like, okay, new patch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your talent. It won't take effect for 3 seconds. You have 3 seconds to fix it.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I mean,
I was thinking situations. Yeah.
Of course, you could see situations where someone like, okay, Wraith King hits level 25 right as he's about to die and has no mana, takes no mana reincarnation, and then immediately switches it to the other one because he's reincarnated, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
You could see people doing shit.
Maybe that's okay.
Maybe that's okay.
You just point horde for your strong thing, and then you just wait for the, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing is, do you have the idea, or did I have the idea?
I think I had the idea. Maybe we both had the idea, Colin.
I think you had the idea, and I was just, I think I helped iron it out.
Yeah. So, once you're level 25, plus 40% XP isn't really doing anything for you. It's literally doing nothing for you, actually. It's exactly what it's doing. Mm-hmm. What if it was possible to do a respec on a talent, by buying an item. And so I had the idea for a respec tome, or like a talent change shift tome. And you buy it, and then it lets you change, I guess, one talent probably, right? You know, because you don't want to go crazy. So that, you know, if it is, my idea at least, if it's some sort of late game scenario, right? You're 60 minutes as a Crystal Maiden, or I don't know, 60 minutes as someone with an XP gain talent, right? And you don't need it. You could spend the gold and invest in changing your talent to something useful. It's like, you know, it's another buff. It's not like buying it's almost like buying an eggs, because you're like getting a new functionality for your hero a lot of the time. And that would be great to have at 60 minutes, you know. I think you do need a barrier of entry, though, or else it like breaks the entire concept of like choosing a talent, right? So, yeah. I mean, back, you used to be able to buy an Aegis, you know, speaking of Dota history, the Aegis wasn't something that Roche dropped. You know, you bought the Aegis of the Immortal. What if you could just like buy a 2 to 3K gold item that let you switch a talent? I kind of like that.
For that much money, I feel like you should just say, okay, it's 4K and it fully resets your talents and you can rebuild from scratch. Because at a certain point, like, okay, if you're going to allow people to reset their talents, I think it's very healthy to have, like, a barrier to entry, but at a certain point, gold becomes kind of a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, if a game goes long enough, gold just becomes a number and you don't give a fuck anymore. And so once you're at that point or getting close to that point, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think at 4,000 gold, it would have to be I can't imagine a situation where while you're still getting items, you buy that. I can't imagine that.
I don't know. I feel like if you balance the gold right enough such that it can be advantageous situationally, that might be a good mechanic, like a good feature. It's like buying an eggs on like a core. You know, when I go anime jags, it's, you know, whatever. It's plus 10 stats. Yay. And, you know, situationally, the ags is worth it, right? Because they have a really good targeted spell or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, like, I feel kind of gimped late game. I'm like, sure would be nice if I had a butterfly or a Daedalus or something. Because I'm 6-slotted, you know, 7-slotted. I don't know. I feel like you can make a trade-off there that balances things. I'm just trying to think of heroes to see if like you did a total reset, if that would be game breaking for just a 4K item.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, as ever with new ideas, the numbers are a thing that you can't really set in stone before you've done some playtesting.
Yeah.
Which we are of course not capable of doing.
No.
Well, I guess we could probably create a Dota 2 custom game, but that really seems like a lot of work for us two jackasses. So.
Yes.
But you talked about buying an Ags on a core, and I think it's time for Ags of the Week.
Wow!
That's the Ags of the Week music, starring, of course, LD.
Wow!
Da 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 da. Great.
I was really hoping you were gonna. I guess you can't pitch shift it.
I can do it live. Here, let me hit my page up a bunch.
No, stop.
Wow.
He's coming back.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Oh, well, this has become a garbage special. So, Axelute, Colin, what hero? What hero are we doing?
How did it turn to garbage so fast, Nick?
It was garbage the whole time.
Oh, you're right.
The garbage is so right behind me.
We did Phantom Assassin this week.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever done it on the podcast. I think I've only been here since like the late 30s, maybe 40s. But I can't remember if you've ever done PA before.
Phantom Assassin?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure we haven't.
Okay.
I don't keep perfect track, but I'm pretty sure we haven't.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to start off because I think you might have a cool idea. I spent 2 days continuously, obviously, now just like a few days trying to come up with this, because like you don't want to go a low tier stats item on PA, you really don't. But she also has so many freaking good mechanics and like skills anyways. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what the hell to do. So my Ags is Phantom Sweep. It adds another ability. Okay, it's, you know, your D. And what she does, she winds up, you know, twists around and then throws out a line of daggers in like a cone or like a line or something. Or like sweeps across a cone. Something like that. Based on how many heroes you hit, your coup de grace chance, your crit, increases by like 3% to 5% per hero. That's how I could see it being okay. But I'm sure you have a better idea.
Well, okay.
I thought about giving her a targeted dash too, like changing her W to be like a skill shot, right? So you could like dash over. It's like make it a League of Legends dash, literally that, where you like press W and then you dash a certain direction, and you could get
and then she auto attacks everyone you pass through or something.
Yeah, like double attack them or something.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
So my idea is actually going to be. Since we're talking about all sorts of Valve property today, is going to be a callback to a game called Team Fortress 2.
Oh, that little gem.
Do you know, okay, back when Team Fortress 2 was good and not a garbage game, which I don't think it went bad because it went free to play, but that it happened close. Okay, it started going bad before it went free to play. But listen, do you know what class I played in Team Fortress 2? Can you guess?
Did you play the medic?
I played a lot of the medic, but the medic was not my main and favorite class.
The guy who throws piss on people? The sniper?
I played a lot of the spy.
I can see that.
And one of the unlockables for the spy, when the spy was got his the sniper versus spy update, ended up getting nerfed a bunch, but it was a special stealth watch called the Dead Ringer.
I played TF2 back in the day, and I think I tried out this build.
Now the Dead Ringer was an item that when you activate, when you turned it on and off, you sort of toggled it, and when it was toggled on, the next hit you took would make you turn invisible instantly and drop a fake corpse with a fake kill feed. And then you could run away.
That was goofy.
I'm taking this to the most extreme version. With Phantom Assassin's Feign Death. Her Dead Ringer.
Feign Death.
Well, it's called Dead Ringer, but it's a Feign Death. So it has an active and a passive. We're going to talk about the active first, because the passive is going to be the part where you get a little incredulous with me.
Okay.
So here's the active, right? You turn this on. It's a toggle. The next hit you take that does, I'm going to say, we can tweak these numbers, but like, let's say hit for more than 100 damage will drop a fake corpse. Give a fake kill feed. Give fake gold and experience. You turn invisible. You are disarmed. You have phased movement. This is all for 15 seconds. So you drop a fake corpse. There's the kill feed. There's the fake money and fake experience. You're invisible. You've got phased movement. You are disarmed, so you can't use this opportunity to hit people, because that's not the point. You need to get the fuck out. And after 15 seconds, you're unstealthed, you're not phased anymore, you're rearmed, and their fake golden experience disappear. And they're like, what the fuck just happened? Now, that's screwed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the really screwed up part?
Yes.
So the passive. You know how when people die, there's that little number up by their portrait that counts down?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you feign death, this triggers that too, right?
Yeah.
However, the thing is, with this passive, that becomes an unreliable narrator. Where, if Phantom Assassin dies, or pretends to die, then that starts counting down, and it won't revert until someone gets close enough and sees Phantom Assassin through blur, and then it gets fixed. This includes if Phantom Assassin dies and buys back, it does not announce her buyback.
Oh.
It still starts counting down. It's still as though she is dead. And you're like, is she actually dead? Did she buy back? Is she here? Is she smoked? What's going on? I don't know. If you see her and she has bought back, the game belatedly announces her buyback and how much time has passed since her buyback. So you can't use this to be like, I don't know if we can, you know, like, can we force high ground? I don't know how long ago she bought back. You don't lose that information, but you don't know if she's back or not.
I love it. I actually really like that passive part. It does not feel too OP.
I really thought of a lot of ways to try and keep it fair because it's such a fucked up idea. And that's
pretty good. I like it because it integrates with Blur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a part of Ags of the Week that I've kind of forgotten because we've done a couple with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my ideas have been like, oh, let me try and make Ember Spirit more anime or whatever, right?
Yeah. And then mine have been ridiculous nonsense, which is the idea.
Sure. But like, no, I mean, for me, the thing that I always loved about Ags of the Week, the thing that I used to do with Emily that back when she was hosting with us, and I rekindled that spark, is I thought of this idea, and I smiled, and there was a light in my eye, which was like, oh, I'm going to make so many people unhappy. It was this dark spark of malice, and I'd forgotten that's what fuels Ags of the Week, is like, oh man, I'm gonna fuck them up.
It's anti-fun, Colin. It is, you it's embody great. Anti-fun, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's Dota.
It's special.
Glance value, clarity, information. Fuck that. This is a video game, and you're gonna play it. Very well
done.
Are
we ever?
Well done.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. That was good.
So, folks, this is episode 50. We've made it to episode 50.
We've
been through a number of hosts.
Yeah.
So, Nick, our latest, hopefully, doesn't leave anytime soon. I'm really enjoying having Nick on the show, and it's been great. Before him, of course, host emeritus Emily, who will come back someday, I hope. She has two kids. She does not have a lot of free time. And at the moment, she does not have a computer. And hasn't for a while because
kids
it was
OP.
A bad laptop that fried itself.
As they tend
and then,
to do.
You know, we also have had Jesse Cox, good friend and, you know, and former host who we will hopefully have back sometimes. He's in the military. He's busy with all sorts of things, right?
Can't exactly record a podcast on a boat. Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's some great podcast recorded on a boat. I shouldn't judge like that, but yep.
And then there's one other host that I've kind of kept quiet about, the original co-host Johnny. When he left the show, it was just because he was not that hyped about Dota anymore, right? He stopped playing. He was not enjoying recording the episodes, and he wasn't having fun with Dota.
Yeah, totally understandable.
And that's fine, and that's cool. And since then, he and I have had a lot of personal troubles, and I don't, you know, obviously, like, respect his privacy. In large part, that's nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he and I are not on speaking terms anymore. He being stubborn is part of the reason why we're Bottle Crow Reborn instead of Bottle Crow, is because he kind of fucked us. And I don't want anyone to give, like, you know, I don't think we have enough listeners for this to be, but I'll just go ahead and say it out loud anyway. I don't want anyone to give him shit for this. I don't want anyone to harass him for this. But, like, for the record, like, Johnny's never coming back to this because I think he's kind of an asshole. And I don't really want anything to do with him. But to everybody else who has made Bottle Crow what it is for 2 years, for 50 episodes, for many more, we're weekly now instead of bi-weekly. We have all these patch specials. We probably will do some more hat casts in the future. It's
God forbid we'll never see another Ice Fraud episode.
It's been a hell of a ride. And it's just been really great to have other passionate people to podcast with and an audience that enjoys the work. And, you know, thanks everybody for fucking 50 episodes in 2 years. God damn it. Oh my God.
That was like 70.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit. That is
so,
actually cool.
I doubt that will happen by the time this goes up, but, pretty soon we will have new artwork for iTunes and podcast and RSS for Bottle Crow.
New Bottle Crow logo.
I have commissioned an artist.
I don't think they'll be disappointed.
No, I think it'll be cool.
we've accidentally hinted at it because that's when we came up with the idea. And you're like, talk about it off air.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing it too.
Yeah, I took too long commissioning them. And so it was like, can you get it done in a week and a half? And they're like, almost certainly not. And I'm like,
that's totally reasonable.
Darn it, you have like, it's like, they're like, well, like, listen, I can do a drawing in a week and a half. Don't be, other people
How
are
do you
in line?
Feel about like, finger paint?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's, you know, like.
Is a napkin really drawing excited. Good for your podcast? Is it that kind of podcast?
So that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We will, of course, continue to have The Harmonies of New Bloom by Reddit user Pomodi. Big thanks to him. You can get it in-game. You can hear it at the beginning and ending. And, of course, you know, occasional interstitials. It's great stuff.
It is.
If you want to give us a rating or review, if you want to say, how the fuck did they make it to 50 episodes, you can go to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher. You cannot go to SoundCloud. I promise I will fix that. I keep putting...
But, Colin, it's in the cloud. It just works.
It is.
You just put it in the cloud. Mean,
you can go there if you want to listen to, like, episode 30, I guess, but probably
the
not
best
much
episode.
More than that.
Went downhill from there, for sure. Mm. Need more cloud power.
But, yeah, I think that's probably it for us, right?
Yeah. You have some new contact info, by the way. So Bottle Crow, production of Scanline Media. Look at me, I remembered that. If you want to see more, you can go to bottlecrow.com or you can email colin@bottlecrow.com and that'll redirect to our bottlecrowreborn@gmail.com. So,
you son of a bitch! You did that?
Got it.
What?
Snatched it out right from under him.
I had no fucking idea.
I figured it's time
to
own bottlecrow.com, right?
Yeah.
That way I can sell it to you later for $2 million once you're a big organization.
God damn.
Heard it here first.
Nice snag. Fuck. I saw, like, on the notes, it said new contact, and I was like...
New contact.
Want to talk
dis?
About his contacts? What are we fucking
I got
doing right
a
now?
Great prescription, let me tell you. I have the best prescription. Yeah. Oh. I mean, I'm also nick@bottlecrow.com, but I don't know why you would ever... need to email me unless to flame about Colin. Understandable. Mm-hmm. I will air your grievances on air anonymously.
If you want to send questions to the show, you can send them to nick@bottlecrow.com or you could send them to bottlecrowreborn@gmail.com. You can send them to @bottlecrow on Twitter. You could send them to @6264 on Twitter. That's me. And yeah, thanks so much, everybody. It's yeah, If we leave, keep this going, I will just keep pausing and going 50 episodes wow over and over. So
wow, it's over, Anakin.
Oh,
copyright, strike down, take down,
and we had a good run 50, and it's over. See you next week.
Peace out.